You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ in others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on Easter Sunday, April 16, 2017, by the Reverend Lex Breckenridge, rector at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Our story begins in a garden. Someplace in the east, we're told. East of Eden, a river flows out of Eden, watering the garden. Every tree that's pleasant to the sight and good for food grows there. In the midst of the garden, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now from the dust of the ground, God forms a man and places him in the garden. And then, seeing that the man is alone, God takes a part of the man and makes a woman. A companion, a partner, a lover, a friend. God creates the human beings to be in relationship. And it all feels like bliss. Until the snake shows up and tells the man and the woman they're missing out. FOMO, that's called. You know, a concept that was introduced to me the other day, and I appreciate it because it's something I've been living with all my life, a neurosis. You know what FOMO stands for? Who knows what FOMO stands for? Fear of missing out. That's right. Fear of missing out. That's what I got FOMO deluxe. I really don't like to miss out on anything. And of course, that's what Adam and Eve had. They thought their lives would only be complete. They had FOMO. Their lives would only be complete if they could be like God, judging between good and evil. Just like God. Well, you know the rest of the story. It's all downhill after that first bite. Or maybe it's really not. Maybe that first bite, that bite that brings with it the dawning of human consciousness, the beginning of the man and the woman's seeing of who they really are, maybe that first bite is a necessary part of what it means to be a human being. Because now the man and the woman can see that they have choices. And of course, the foundational choice, the ultimate choice, is the choice they and we are now free to make. The choice for love or not. They're free. And they also now see that freedom carries with it responsibility. That's why in medieval Catholic theology, this moment is referred to as the felix culpa. That means the happy fault. It's the moment of clarity, the moment of recognition. And it's the beginning of the human journey out of Eden and into the heart of God. It's the beginning of the journey away from selfishness and self-centeredness. After all, that's exactly what the story of the snake and the tree and the apple are all about. Selfishness, human selfishness. It's the beginning of their journey away from selfishness and on towards love. Now, let's consider another story. The one that Steve read for us a minute ago. This story also is taking place in a garden, early in the morning before daybreak. And at the heart of this story, just as at the heart of the other garden story, is a woman, Mary Magdalene, perhaps Jesus of Nazareth's closest and dearest friend. On Wednesday evening, a number of us gathered in the Great Hall to watch the Berlin Philharmonic and the Berlin Radio Chorus's production of Bach's St. Matthew Passion. It was extraordinary. The chorale and soloists brought the words of St. Matthew's Passion narrative and Bach's sublime music to transcendent life. And among the most compelling pieces of the performance, and they acted all this out, among the most compelling pieces of the performance is the portrayal of Mary Magdalene and Jesus' friendship. It's at the heart of the story and makes beautifully clear Jesus' humanity. Mary Magdalene has such love and devotion for her teacher and her dearest friend. And her grief over his arrest and trial and finally his death make clear the depth of her love. And that love is so beautifully returned by Jesus. He's holding her in her grief and walking with her in her grief in the most deeply and the most divine sort of way. And so this morning we join her in the garden. We join her in the midst of her deeply felt human grief. Now, in the midst of her grief, Mary's found something strange. At the tomb in the garden, the stone's been rolled away. The tomb is empty. She's standing there with tears running down her face. Where have they taken him? What's going on? Yet another strange occurrence. She sees two angels are just loitering around. And they talk. Why are you weeping, woman? Because they've taken my Lord away and I don't know where they've laid him. She then turns and another figure standing there, a figure she first believes to be the gardener. And he asks the same question. Why are you weeping? And then another one. What are you looking for? And that brings the moment of recognition. Mary. Mary, the gardener says. And in an instant, she recognizes him. It's when he calls her name, Mary. Interesting, isn't it, that Jesus doesn't respond to her request for information. You know, where have they taken it? He doesn't say, oh, Mary, don't you recognize me? I'm right here. That would be information. Instead, he simply speaks her name. And hearing Jesus speak her name, she experiences his presence. She doesn't get information. She gets the experience of relationship. You know, you could almost draw a straight line from the story of Adam and Eve in the garden to the story of Mary and the risen Jesus in another garden. In their own way, they are each creation stories. And they're both stories about seeing. They are both stories about clarity. For Adam and Eve, the moment of clarity comes when they realize their nakedness. When they come to the consciousness, when they come to the clarity that they're free to make choices. Will I choose to be in relationship or will I choose to be selfish? Will I choose to love or not to love? Their story, which is of course, my dear sisters and brothers, our story, is the story of that human search to get back to the garden. Back to that deep and full connection to the source of life. Back to that deep and full relationship to love. And that's what Mary's searching for, that connection to the source of life, that relationship to love. And she has her own moment of clarity, her own moment of coming to consciousness when Jesus speaks her name, Mary. In an instant she gets it, and now she can see. And she chooses relationship. She chooses love. Remember I said a minute ago that these are both creation stories? Adam and Eve, that's pretty obvious. But what about the second garden story? Well, I think the clue is what Jesus tells Mary to do. Notice that he doesn't say, go to my brothers and tell them I've risen from the dead and I'll be right along to find them. No, he says something entirely different. He says, tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. Jesus has returned to his Father, and that's the story of the ascension, as Jesus has returned to his Father, gives birth to a new community of relationships. This community of the ones who believe in him and trust in him and will act in the world in his name. You see, the love of God that Jesus embodies and that Mary Magdalene so deeply connects with is the source of life. So when Jesus says, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God, he's telling Mary and he's telling the others and all the ones who have and who will gather in his name and in relationship with each other in his name that they have a new life. Something new has been born. The believing community, the ones that gather in his name, now know God as Jesus knows God. The intimacy of Jesus' relationship with God becomes the intimacy with which the community can know God. And that's something new. That's something fresh and real and vital and important that's just been born. And you know, that's us. Here today, in this wet and wonderful and cool and beautifully and colorfully alive garden in the Northwest. God, wasn't yesterday beautiful? I mean, have we needed that? And do we need today? When I came over Clyde Hill this morning and I saw those Olympics just bursting with snow and the blue sky, I said, God, he's risen. He is risen indeed. Right? This has been a hard winter. And so we gather as a community on this day in Jesus' name, on this beautiful day. We're gathered here in Jesus' name. This community that knows and trusts and acts in the name of Jesus' Father and our Father, of Jesus' God and our God. Now, some of you are here today, maybe for the first time since Christmas or the first time since last Easter or maybe for the first time, period. We're so glad you're here. Whether it's for the first time or the 500th time. Because even if it's only deep in your subconscious, you, like the rest of us, are really here to find your way back to the garden. You came out of the garden. Yes, you did. You came to consciousness. And you know you have some choices to make. The choice to be selfish or not. The choice to love or not. And your presence here means that at least for this day, at least for this day, you are choosing love. You are choosing relationship over selfishness today. And there's Jesus pointing the way, pointing the way out of despair, pointing the way out of self-centeredness, pointing the way onward to love. Pointing the way, that is to say, back to the garden. So, are you going to follow him? There's the choice. Will you follow Jesus back to the garden? Yes, I know that old snake's voice sounds mighty seductive. Come on, think about yourself, take care of yourself. No one else will. It's all about me, right? It's all about you. Mighty seductive. But just remember, that's the voice that leads away from the garden. That's the voice that leads ultimately to someplace pretty dark. But following Jesus leads away from the dark. Following Jesus leads out into the light. Following Jesus leads back to the garden. Your choice. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.